the Rise Podcast. I'm Rachel Hollis, and I've built a multi-million dollar media company with a high school diploma and a Google search bar. Each week, we'll be sharing tangible, direct advice or inspiring interviews with the same intention. These are the tools to change your life. This week's guest needs no introduction, but I'm going to go ahead and give him one anyway. If you have hung out with me for very long, then you know how much I love and admire Brendon Burchard. His books have been game changers for me. He's someone that I dreamed of meeting for years and years before I finally did. And I am so excited to have him on this week's episode of Rise, talking about how you and I can start the year strong. Can start the year with intention and make sure that we do a few daily habits that really change the game in 2019. I hope you enjoy this week's episode as much as I did.
Are you going to tell me when we actually start?
No, okay, and
now
start.
I'm very nervous.
No, it's just a conversation. Mine are very casual.
Okay.
But I feel like you're in town.
Yes.
And so it seemed like a really good opportunity to just steal any time with you and get your wisdom. We're about to go into a new year.
We need a lot of time to get any wisdom.
I know, right? But we're about to go into a new year, into 2019, and I feel like this is the time of year when so many people are going to name the goals and write them down and say all the things. But, like, number one, I'd love to hear what you do at a new year. Do you have any things that you do? And then also, what are some of the, like, tactical tips, advice, things that you could give listeners if they're setting out to accomplish a goal this year or this month or this week? What are the things you tell them?
So I think what makes my New Year's special is that I don't set New Year's resolutions to fix problems.
Ooh, okay, wait. Now let's unpack that.
Yeah, because what most people do is they go, you know what? I'm 15 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
I need to lose weight this year.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? I wasn't very disciplined about my morning routine. That's my only goal. So they basically go, problem in life, fix it. Problem in life, fix it. Problem in life, fix it, which makes their year and their goals really reactive, not very motivational,
wow,
and almost nothing related to their long-term dreams.
Wow.
And it's kind of like if you're driving down a road in life and there's like all these potholes and you start driving just to miss the potholes, you'll run off the road. So you've got to instead say, okay, what road should I be on? Where should I be going? But what most people do, it's a fix. I want to fix this. I want to fix this. I want to fix this. One, how does that help with your self-doubt at the beginning of the year? Like, look at all these ways my life sucks.
Yes.
So I'm going to work on all these ways just to fix the thing that suck. And they wonder why, well, I'm not motivated to meet my goals. It's because you're just fixing things that suck.
Mm.
If you're always fixing things that suck, your self-doubt rises. It's like, let's focus on all our weaknesses the whole first month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's why people aren't in the gym week four, week five, week six, is because they were going to the gym for a fix.
Wow.
And no one sticks to anything that's just a fix.
Dang it. That's so good.
Well, yeah.
Before we
doesn't
get...
stick if it's just a fix.
Oh, someone make it a bumper sticker.
Yeah. Or a quote card or something.
Yeah. Dang it. That's so good.
Yeah.
This is why I feel super lucky all the time to be friends with you, because basically I just come to you with every problem that I have and you say something like this, that's like that emoji where the brain is exploding. That's what you're doing to me right now. So people tend to go into the new year trying to fix problems. What is the way you approach it?
And it's not that I don't want them to do that, right? We all have to address our weaknesses, fix our problems, you know, address things that are real in our life, and that's huge. But without the context of also our potential, without our dreams, without that, like, okay, honey, kind of, it's difficult right now, but where could we be in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not just focus on this upcoming year, but let's extend it a little bit. And because what I'm trying to tell people is, like, you should never limit your vision for your future based on your current circumstances or even your current competencies. Because if you only set your goals for this year based on what you already know or what you're capable of, you will inevitably set your sights lower than you're capable of. Because you'll go, well, I want to launch a book, but I only know how to do this. Or
yes.
I want to start my business, but I only know this. If your goals are always tied to your current competency, meaning your current skill level, your current knowledge level, your current ability level, then you're not really setting goals. You're just setting tasks. You're just saying, I'm going to do this next. And New Year's is a time to think big. New Year's is a time to go, okay, in 3 years, even if I don't know how to get there, What could I decide I'm going to do and then work backwards from that and start skilling up? I say the most important goals ever to set at New Year's is skill goals that will lead to success in 3 or 5 years.
So explain skill goals if people haven't read High Performance Habits, if I haven't talked about it enough.
Yeah.
So explain that idea of acquiring the skills that are going to take you to the place that you want to be.
Yeah, like me, as you know, I'm kind of awkward. And
One of my
great huge awkwardnesses in my life was public speaking.
That's hilarious.
Another huge awkwardness in my life was video. Another huge awkwardness to me was like talking to people about like intimate or like vulnerable things.
Which is, if you don't know Brendan, what he's saying is basically everything that he's best known for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, now I can talk to 30,000 people in an arena. Now I can, you know, we just passed 300 million video views across all my videos. And none of my videos are entertaining, funny, or have cats. You know, it's like,
so that saves
it's
something.
Straight up personal development with no context. So it's not like that amazing. And now I'm known as a really highly effective high performance coach where I'm very comfortable in weird, awkward conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, you just had lunch
with
me.
Yeah. Right?
So it's like, that was not something I was capable of because where I grew up in Butte, Montana, and then Great Falls, Montana, men weren't very expressive.
Yeah.
I always make the joke on stage, it's like, men never, where I'm from, lifted their hands above their waist. They kind of were like, they would just lift a hand and you knew you were dead.
Yes.
If it came above the shoulder, it meant you were getting punched in the face. Like, I didn't grow up around expressive people. So just like everyone else, I had to learn to overcome those things. Like when I first turned on the video camera ever, to look at a video camera, it was just like everyone else. You turn on the video camera and you look at it and you're like, Hi, I'm Rachel Hollis.
Yeah.
And then you, no, that's not how I say it.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hollis. No, and you have to go like 10 iterations to find out how you introduce yourself on video. And it's awkward and weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, but my mission, my dream 3 years from now, is I would love to be able to make an impact in more people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to make an impact in more people's lives, I need to learn to get over my insecurities and develop the skills necessary to serve.
Yeah.
And the skills necessary to serve in my like dreams were, I'm going to have to be able to communicate. I'm going to have to stand in groups of 5, 10, 15 people, then 30, then 100, maybe one day 1,000. And even if I thought of talking to 1,000 people, I'd start sweating just thinking about it. And I would have to sit there and allow the sweat and visualize it and see it and see it and see it and determine this is a skill I'm going to develop. I'm not going to be comfortable with it. I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to learn to develop that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people need to do is don't just try to say, okay, in the first quarter, I'm going to, you know, lose weight or I'm going to do this one little task. Instead, say, okay, 3 years from now, if I was living my dream life and I was making my dream difference, what would I have to be able to do then that I can't yet now do confidently and world class?
Mm-hmm.
And then say, okay, what mentors do I have to do? What courses do I have to get? What seminars do I have to go to? What tapes do I have to listen to or audio program? Like, what would it like build into that capability?
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you're not hoping that you just land with it one day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that deliberate practice that makes you great.
Yeah.
And most people, they're just not doing that at New Year's. And so they're very unmotivated when they actually have real aspirations for their life.
Yeah. Well, I love, I am saying it because you're sitting in front of me, but they've heard me talk about High Performance Habits a million times, which is Brendan's book, which is amazing.
Thank you.
And at some point I will show you, at some point in our friendship, I'll show you like my notes from when I was reading that book because they're crazy. But what I love about that is that you do break it down and make it really tactical. So I think if there's anyone listening who's like, man, I'd love a deeper dive in that thing. What does this look like?
Mm-hmm.
How does that manifest in my calendar?
Mm-hmm.
How do I take that and apply that to my life? It is all, there's so much information in that book. It feels like it should have been 3 books.
Yes.
Like you really could have gotten 3 books out of
it. Yeah. Well, I actually did write 3 books.
Did you
really? It was 1,480 pages. Because it was a research project, right?
Oh my gosh,
It was at the time the world's largest study of high performance that had ever been done, and we had to scale it back.
That's,
you know, because we had all this research in there, and I was trying to make all these cases. It was like I had to make it so that everyone could read it.
Mm-hmm.
But that brings up something too in that book. If you have it, go to the productivity chapter this year, and realize what's going to make one of the big differences: skill set. But another one is we call it PQO.
Yes.
Which is learning to focus on what they call prolific quality output, which is a fancy, really fancy way of saying, okay, whatever your career is or whatever you're trying to do in your life, figure out the major needle movers that would have to happen for you to accomplish it.
Mm-hmm.
and spend, this was the stat, high performers spend 60% of their week focusing on the major needle moving activities that they know will move their projects or their dreams forward. And 40% is like, you know, the administration, the email, the whatever. But that's what happens is most people spend a tremendous amount of time on horrible stuff and not the real stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the average American watches 4 hours of television a day, which over the course of the average adult lifespan is 13 years.
It's insane.
In front of the TV.
It's insane.
That's 13 years away from the kids. Or maybe if you're watching it with them, not doing really high quality stuff, it's 13 years away from your business or that thing you wanted to start in your dream. And so it's like, what's going to be the things you should focus on the most? Like for me, I spend 60% of my week on research and content and building curriculum because I'm a teacher. I'm a trainer. And that's what makes my business and my career go forward. I could spend a bajillion hours on Instagram or social media, or I could spend a million doing email. I mean, I can, and I'm very easily distracted, so I can't. I have to know what are the moving big pieces that move my life forward. So in the new year, make sure you know what those major five things are you should be focusing on every week.
How do you find that out if you're not aware? Because you're so self-aware. So, but I know there are people who are listening who are going to be like, oh, I don't know what mine are. How do you figure that out?
What brings me joy? What brings me flow? What makes me feel on a Friday fulfilled that, you know what, this was a good week? I think a lot of people go week by week by week, and they never ask, like, what made me feel good this week? Like, where was I just so happy this week? And not just what am I grateful for, but, like, where did I find those moments where I was, like, in flow? And it was just, like, I was doing my thing, and it felt good, and it was working. And, like, identifying that. And if you don't have that, then you just got to go to your longer term dreams and be like, okay, what is it?
What's
really going to get me there?
Yeah.
And then I would say the other thing I do for New Year's is instead of trying to set just big, huge 3-year goals, which is important, or figuring out PQO, I also go, okay, the best thing you can do is instead of saying, I want to lose this or I want to get that or setting super specific goals, instead of that, learn to create daily habits that make you feel good and help you recharge.
Yes.
Like I wouldn't even think, I would never say, let's set a goal to lose this weight or let's set a goal to achieve this financial number. Instead, like, what can you do every day that makes you feel good and allows you to recharge? Because we were talking about this earlier, it's like one of my main things in life was I want to be able to take care of myself so that my intention, my energy is where I need it to be all day. Because you know what, you can't be, you know, especially when you run a big business or entrepreneurship, you might still be working at 6 o'clock. You gotta be smart. And then you gotta go to the kids or be with the wife or be with the husband or whatever. I was like, how do I set up daily habits where throughout the day I'm releasing tension from my body, I'm releasing tension from my thoughts, so that I'm loose throughout the day so I can flow when I need to flow. How do I make sure I'm intentional? So I do things like the doorway triggers.
Yes, I love your triggers.
I have to.
Yeah.
Like we literally walked in this store before I met you.
Yeah.
I'm pointing to the-
At Cameron.
Cameron, making sure we all sound great. Like we walked through a door right behind him. And when I walked in, I said the same thing. I said, I enter this room, a happy man, ready to serve.
Yeah, and you say that every time you walk through any door.
Pretty much every, except for the bathrooms.
Yeah.
But that kind of self-talk, the trigger is the door, and the door triggers a self-talk. When I look in the mirror, I say something to myself.
Yeah.
When I walk through a door, I say something to myself. When you know, I set up triggers in my alarm, when I get on a plane.
Yes.
Like I've just said, these things I do on a regular basis, I say something to myself, not because I need it, but because I want to be an intentional person.
Yeah,
and
you are the most intentional person I've ever met in my whole life.
I try to be.
I don't think there's anybody more intentional than you.
Dalai Lama beats me. Just
He's amazing. Right?
But I think, I mean, he also meditates 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know? So I think a piece of it is I know that without intention, I'm easily distracted. I easily feel sad. I easily can get frustrated with people. I grew up in a place where anger was like a hair trigger reaction, and I can feel that well up.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to enter a difficult conversation with Denise, my wife, I'm like, okay, this might be a difficult conversation. I might not see eye to eye, but I love her. I respect her. She is my everything. Brendan, breathe and listen, dude. And then I walk in the room. if I don't do that, and I just walk in the room and she starts talking and I start talking and all of a sudden I can lose myself.
Yeah.
So I just think if you're going to walk in and you tell your kid how to do math, like go in, okay, he or she might be really frustrated. This might take longer than I think. I'm going to take some deep breaths. I want them to associate like positive energy with their math. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be a good mom in the mm-hmm. situation. Like I think we just forget to do that. And it's a simple everyday thing.
Yeah. Can you talk about for you, like the relationship between intention and habits? Mm. Because you have the intention to do something, but then you attach the habit and that sort of solidifies it in your life.
Yeah.
Because you still do a lot of these things, even though they're ingrained in you now.
Yeah.
But you still, like it blew my mind that you still set the alarm on your phone.
Yeah.
Even though you've been doing it. Will you talk about the alarm on your phone?
Yeah.
And explain what it is. I think it's an incredible, incredible trick. But then the fact that you still do it like 9 years later.
Yeah, when people, I probably shut it off, but thanks for doing a podcast, but let's see if it's like, so when, there was mine this morning, my 10 a.m., my 2:50, my 6 p.m., and my 7:32. So
and these are things you need in this season, like the words.
Okay, so I'll give it, so if people can't see what I'm doing. So what I do, and I've done this since 2008, there's an alarm function on your phone, and when you set your alarm, you can set labels to mm-hmm. your alarm. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I go in and I set a label, and I set three words that I want to be this person, mm-hmm. and I set that alarm to go off. Like, for example, today, 10 a.m., this alarm goes off, and it says dynamic, bold, confident. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is. When your alarm goes on your phone, you look.
Yeah.
So.
Doesn't it always
and I've been doing this since
you?
2008. It
like,
still
what?
Surprises me.
Yes.
And so I look, it goes off and I'm like, oh. And as soon as I see that visual cue, it makes me go, okay, am I dynamic right now? No, I'm boring.
Yeah.
Am I bold? You know what? Nah, I've just been kind of like relaxing and hanging back a little mm-hmm. bit. I'm not going for it. Am I confident? I'm like, no, I'm not confident. Why am I not confident? Let me think about that for a second. And it just creates a moment of intention throughout mm-hmm. the day. But then I have ones that are social too, like my 7:32 p.m. You see, says give Denise affection.
I love how it did.
Is that so
you
stupid?
No, but it's.
But
not.
It really goes off because you know I've been home a lot.
Yeah.
Since I finished tour, I finished my seminar tour, and I've been home with my wife Denise a lot, and I just like anyone else, you can go through your emotions with your spouse.
Totally.
You can go through emotions with your kids. You can go through emotions with your business. And I think going through the motions is the ultimate killer to high performance.
Mm.
Because the problem is when you're a high performer, when you're good, like if you're the best mom on the block or you're the most competent, capable, get stuff done at work, the thing is because you are so good, you can kind of rest on your laurels a little bit because you can get away with it mm-hmm. because you're outperforming people already.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also stealing that full potential.
Mm.
You're never touching the full rim of what you're capable of.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to live just above everybody else.
Yeah.
But you're not going for it. And I think people have that in every part of their lives. Like, I want to have an extraordinary marriage and relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been together now 15 years, mm-hmm. married 10. And I still, 7:32, give Denise affection because I've been home. And I want to make sure that I'm like, oh, okay, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm easily, you know, distracted at home because that's where I also do my research and my writing. Mm-hmm. And she can come in. I want to get up, go give her affection, greet her at the door. I want to be a sweetie to my sweetie, and I need a stupid reminder on my phone.
Yeah.
So it's one thing I do, is that trick. I also really believe that habits are never going to be automatic.
Hmm.
There's a myth that habits become automatic.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true, but only a homeostasis habits.
Okay, now explain that.
Homeostasis
to me.
Means whatever naturally comes. It's like homeostasis is everything settles back down to what's easy and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, doing something over and over when it's easy and comfortable becomes a habit because it's not hard anymore.
Mm.
Soon as something gets hard, you need more intentions to actually do the habit.
Yeah.
Because all of your mind goes, actually, this is a little, I prefer ease, I prefer comfort.
So I just want to understand this. So a habit, let's say, stress eating,
mm-hmm.
like that feels like that is what you mean. Like that's something that will exist without effort because it makes you feel better. You're going to get hungry regardless of stress. Yeah, it's an easy thing.
It's easy. You know what? Going to the gym when you're out of shape.
Yeah.
you know what? Just doing it a bunch of times isn't going to create a habit that's automatic. Like you got to do more. You got to do more cues, more triggers to make you want to do that. Because you know what it is. Like if you're out of shape, you could have gone to the gym 6 months in a row.
Yeah.
7 months comes up, your body still goes, no, man.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So those kind of habits, they're called deliberate habits. Mm. Deliberate habits are habits you have to will and cajole and goad and trigger yourself into doing because they're good habits to have, but they're not easy to implement. They're not like, of course, let's go running in the morning when you don't want to run.
Yeah.
So you have to have things that make you want to do it. You have to have things like, for example, for me, when I go into my office, because I'm a creative person, I don't want to do things for other people in a funny way. Like, I don't want to do email.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a team call.
Yeah.
So right on my computer, there's this post-it and it says, who needs you on your A game today?
Yeah, which is one of the questions you ask in your planner.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, who needs me on my A game? Gosh, my team really needs me to show up today. Okay, you know what? My customers have been waiting for this thing. My coaching client over here needs this thing from me. And it if I don't ask the question, I don't get to work.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they avoid the questions or the triggers or the things that would make them go to work. So I think that's really important. I also think that throughout the day, the world's largest study that's ever been done on productivity was done by a productivity app. I'm forgetting the name of the productivity app. But what they did is they have all this data and they can associate how people rate their productivity. They can see how many tasks they check off in the checklist of the app. And they did this for, I believe it was over 4 million people. And what they found, which is what I've been teaching for a very, very long time, is that the most productive people take breaks every 50 minutes.
50 or 15? 50.
Okay. I've been, actually, their study said 52 minutes. I've been teaching 50 minutes forever because just, you can tell if you sit in a chair and you work for a while, your body gets a little restless, but a lot of people go, I'll power through.
Yeah.
And now their posture is compromised, their mind didn't get a break, and what they really need to do is just get up, walk around, get some water, maybe do a vinyasa flow on the ground, or stretch out, lay on your back, go walk really quickly around, do 10 jumping jacks, do 4 burpees, whatever it is. But every 50 minutes is a great time to take a break. Even if it's really just stand up, stretch out, get some water.
I'm terrible at that.
Close your eyes. Everybody is. So guess what goes in my phone? When my butt hits the chair, see, I tell people all the time, your phone is either a weapon of mass distraction or it can be an incredibly powerful tool to keep you on track.
Yeah.
So I set a 50-minute timer, and almost 100% of the time, even now, I'll work, it goes off 50 minutes, and my brain goes, I don't need a break. And that's the number one challenge people have. I don't need a break. And then they're burnt out.
Yeah.
And they never saw that you actually, by recharging several times throughout the day, that's why meditation is so powerful. If you meditate once or twice a day, it's that little recharge that's going to give your mind a break, your spirit a break, your creative edge a break, and then you come right back at it.
Yeah.
Even when I'm writing, and you know how it is, you get in a flow. I'm writing like, you know, and I'm loving writing.
Yeah.
That thing goes off 50, even if I'm in the middle of like the greatest paragraph, I will stop, I will get up, I'll stretch, I'll drink some water, I'll come back down, and that's how I can write though, all day, all night, week after week, and people are like, gosh, how are you so prolific? I'm like, because I'm taking breaks in between.
Yeah.
And so many people, they schedule themselves crazy all day. And if they could just find it, it doesn't have to be 50 minutes, though all science in productivity has proven, all of it, between 50 minutes and 75 minutes is the most effective time for a break. Not once a day, every 50 to 75 minutes. The longest outer rhythm of that was a 90-minute study.
I am so bad at that.
Everyone sucks at that.
Really bad.
But you're amazing too. And what can happen is then by 6, 7 o'clock, you're like, I'm wiped. So then you go to comfort food. Or I'm wiped, let me get a drink.
100%.
Or I'm wiped and you kind of speak snarly to your husband. I'm not saying you do this.
Yeah.
This is what people do.
Yeah.
They don't realize that the energy dips they're having is leading to bad habits.
Yeah.
The energy dips they're having is leading to unkind behavior.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is manage your energy throughout the day so that it's fairly even because when it dips, everyone knows. It's like, you know what? I know I'm supposed to write that proposal, but Netflix is on.
Yeah.
Because I don't, quote unquote, feel like it.
Yeah.
You don't feel like it because you burn too long.
Yeah.
If you had, like, allowed yourself to go, 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 break. Even if it's 2, 3, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Go, 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 break.
The advanced reader copies of Girl Stop Apologizing are officially out in the world, which means for the first time ever, people besides my editor are reading my new book. And I can't wait for you to read it too. I wrote Girl Stop Apologizing because I wanted to give women permission to do just that. Stop apologizing for who you are. Stop apologizing for the dreams and goals and hopes you have for your life. The tagline for this book is a shame-free guide for embracing and achieving your goals. So if you have big, audacious dreams for your career or great, fantastic personal goals for yourself, this is the book for you. It comes out March 12th, and you can pre-order now on Amazon.com.
What's the, talk about the release thing.
Yeah.
Which I still have not adopted, but I always tell myself I'm going
you
to.
You should.
I've tried it.
It's okay.
I just didn't keep it up.
It's super hard. And I agree. And this is one of those deliberate habits, and I had to do this.
Yeah.
The context was my Facebook page had blown up like big at this time in my life, and I didn't have any team. I was doing all my own marketing. So this was like, you know, three, 4 years ago. And we had like millions of fans, and I was responding to everybody. And I was also going on tour at the time. I was hiring a lot of customer service and fulfillment people. I was getting a lot of big deals. Like my career was finally, it was feeling like, mm-hmm. whoa, yeah. here we go. And I was majorly stressed. And I was finishing the day sometimes just like not even feeling the day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes frustrated and just like edgy. And it's like, I gotta find a way to deal with this. And I had read something that said, between activities, the best thing you can do is ever give yourself a mental break. And I'm like, how? And I was like, well, what's my goal? Well, my goal is, if I can, let's say I'm doing email for an hour. Okay, I'm sorry, if I'm doing email for 50 minutes.
Yes, yes, you would
so
never.
I do emails for 50 minutes, but now I gotta create a PowerPoint or a keynote presentation. What I'll do is I'll do it for 50 minutes, I'll get up, I'll stretch or something, but I'll also push away from the desk at some point, close my eyes, because most fatigue begins with visual fatigue. I'll close my eyes, and then I'll repeat this word, release, to myself, like a mantra. I'll say, release, release, release. And I'll say that over and over until I actually feel some release in my shoulders, in my neck. When thoughts come up, I kind of release them, meditative practice. And I might only do this for like 2-3 minutes. Literally, that's it. Not like a 20-minute big meditation, like 2-3 minutes. And then when I feel the tension go away a little bit, then I'll say, okay, now, Brendan, what's your intention for this next activity? Well, I'm going to create this presentation. My intention is that when I give it, throughout the time I'm giving it, it feels like an emotional roller coaster for people. Yeah, I want to make a roller coaster for people. Okay, I'll do that. And then I want to make sure at the end I really build up towards something, so I'm going to go a little faster. And I'll start thinking about the intention, open my eyes, and I'll get to work. And that little just seconds of releasing the tension from my shoulders, my back, my neck, from my mind, allows me to be more creative going to the next one. The intention allows me to be more intentional about it. And I remember, I think I was sharing this with you one time, my admiration for Oprah Winfrey. She begins every meeting with, what's our intention for this meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, that's just so real. Like, pros, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Pros don't bumble into a situation and go through emotions because they can.
Yeah.
They prepare just, it literally takes 10 seconds long to go, what do I really desire from this? What do I want? How do I want to show up? How do I want to treat people? Okay, this is what I want. Okay, now go into it. And those little moments of pause and intention, like previewed by like relaxing a little bit,
mm-hmm.
really helps. Especially, I teach this now to pro athletes and they're like, oh my gosh. And they don't, most people don't realize the tension they're carrying around them. I tell them, if you're going to set a great New Year's goal, set daily habits to release some tension.
Yeah.
Because when you are free from a lot more from a lot of the tension, you can be more spontaneous, you're more kind, you're more creative, you're just more, your brilliant shows to the world as you learn to let go of tension. So yes, set big New Year's goals, but make sure one of them has to do about how do you feel each day? Do you feel good each day? Are you recharging each day? Are you doing things to manage your energy each day? Are you doing something to release the tension each day?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if it's like you put a lacrosse ball under your desk and you're rolling out your feet, you know, or you get one of those little things I showed you.
I got one of those.
What is that thing called? I don't know.
It's like a little hyperbolt.
Hyperbolt. It's like a gun that like knocks your muscles out or what do they call it? But every little trick and gizmo that you can do to knock out tension.
Yeah.
Because here's what do you want in 2019? No one's going to say, I really want to feel a little more tension in my neck. I really want more stress. I want my head to feel like it's going to explode more. No one does that.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about that. Like, that's what people really, when you get down to it, what do you really want? If there is a problem to fix, it's almost always around an emotional or spiritual tension.
Yeah. I think that's a really good, even that perspective for me is good because I tend to think like we'll hustle during the week and we'll rest on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So I do get home most days and I'm like trying to get the energy back up to be able to be the mom that I want to be for the kids. And I'm spending time with them, but I'm spending time with them with zero energy.
Yep.
I'm like, let's watch a movie.
Yeah.
Or let's do something that just, because I can't, I'm
here's
dead.
Here's an iPad.
Yeah, I'm like dead to the world. Yeah. And I think, well, the weekends are, and I would assume that a lot of working parents have the same sort of attitude is like, hey, the week's going to be tougher and then the weekend is where we're really going to connect.
Yes.
And have a chance to recharge.
And
but
how often does that happen?
Exactly.
And also, it's in High Performance Habits, I write about that story about this tech entrepreneur, you know, guy on covers of magazines, calls me to be his high performance coach. I didn't really, wasn't really clear about why I would work with him yet because he was all career. And then he mentioned challenges with his family and I really wanted help. And as your example of like, come to the house and want to be a great mom, what I had him do, I said, when you pull up to the house, all I want you to do is recline in your chair a little bit before you go in, close your eyes for 5 minutes, repeat the word release to yourself as a mantra or meditate in whatever way, or put on your favorite, like, you know, music or your calming sounds or whatever you do in the car, 5 minutes. Even set on timer, just 5 minute reset, then say, okay, what's my intention for going to this house? Okay, and his was, okay, I want to go in, I want to be an incredibly loving, attentive husband, and I want to be inspiring to my kids. Okay, how would you do that? He thinks about it just for a couple seconds, then he goes in the house. That 5 minute break, that's called living well. Just running into the house to do things is called burnout. And these, like, life is really felt in the extra beats in between. So I end Motivation Manifesto with that. I say, life is really felt in the moments and the beats in between, and if we can learn to elongate a beat in between something, that looks like 5 minutes, right? But if you emerge from that car and you're even 3% more refreshed, that feels like 100% difference.
Yes.
So that beat in between, it looks like 5 minutes, but it can be, it can feel like 50 minutes. You're recharged now, and now you can go in as your best self. Because that's the thing is, we all want to be our best self, but we're not giving ourselves a beat to get it. But I'm like, you don't need an hour a day. You need a couple minutes every 50 minutes. Mm. You need, you know, a pause before you go in the door, or like I go talk to my wife. It's like, okay, let me set an intention here. And these little breaks, I really feel like if people will do that, they're going to say it by February, oh my gosh, I feel amazing. Mm. Because we released some tension. We made them focus on the right things each week with knowing the major things they should be working on. They started thinking about their skills again because the skills also activate learning. Because New Year's resolutions should be so much about what you're going to learn versus what you're going to achieve and be more fulfilled.
Mm.
And so now with the skill development, we're focused on learning. We're dreaming beyond our current circumstances into a three-year kind of segment. And now just those simple things, those feel way better than I'm going to lose 15 pounds.
You know? What you're going to learn versus what you're going to achieve is a really interesting point. Because I don't think I've ever thought, I mean, I definitely will add things that I want to learn, but they're based on what I want to achieve.
Yes.
Because of what I've
which
learned.
Which is okay.
But I'll be, yeah, it'll be like, I want, you know, the book comes out this year in Spanish. So I'm like, I got to learn Spanish so that I know we really need to learn Spanish. But it usually is always tied to some bigger achievement. I don't know how long, like, how often are you setting your multi-year whatever goals for yourself that are about something that doesn't financially benefit you in any way?
Well, since I started broke, every goal I've ever done, I don't know. And my, you know, mom and dad working full-time between the two of them, you know, we were barely scratching poverty. Had four of us kids and grew up in Butte, Montana, which is an old Irish mining town. And so my whole goal, even after I went to college working three jobs, I went to grad school working three jobs. I had to work some, I had to, you know, go to school in the summers because I couldn't take as many credits during the regular semesters when the regular kids could because they didn't have as many jobs. And so I, you know, like my whole, even when I was getting a graduate degree, I was like, if I can make $40,000 a year, I would be rich mm-hmm. for life. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was genuinely,
that was it. Yeah.
That was it. And once I passed 40,000, I was like, I'm
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
So I can't say I set a lot of financial goals, but some major goals in my life have been, like Denise and I wanted to move into our first house. And I was like, well, I better learn how to make enough money to make move in that
yeah.
particular house. And then we upgraded a few houses
yeah.
since then
yeah.
and made me work.
Yeah.
But to your answer of like when, there are other things that are gonna help everyone achieve your goal. Whatever your goal is, I have a couple things to say about it. One, make sure you're holistically measuring your life each week. So I've always taught the Sunday practice. The Sunday practice is there's 10 major areas of your life, and you should score yourself on those 10 major areas on a score of 1 to 10 every week. I've done this forever. We finally put it in the High Performance Planner.
Yeah, but it's like the planner's available on Amazon.
On Amazon,
yeah.
Yes.
Everybody should get it.
Hopefully in stock.
We got yes, them. Yeah.
we kind of had that problem.
Very popular.
Inventory yeah. sometimes.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, man.
So High Performance Planner, we call it the Whole Life Assessment. I'll put it online. People can access mm-hmm. it for free, too, if they want to search for it. Whole Life Assessment. And it's just like, here's the 10 major areas of your life. It's like family, friends, finances, learning, emotional, you know, mental, physical.
Spiritual.
You know, spiritual.
Faith,
And mission. And so you score yourself. One is bad, 10 is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I score myself on that every single week. And that's bigger than your goals. That's more important. Like, that's your whole life. It's like the woman we talk about in High Performance Habits, her whole, she gave me this line. People give it to me, but it was a client who gave it to me. I worked with her for a while, and she said, I finally get it. She goes, achievement is not my problem. Alignment is.
Mm.
Like, a lot of people are good at to-do lists and getting stuff done and checklist moms. Oh, my God. Can checklist and list out just smash people. But if one major area is really compromised, you can be crushing it in other ones. But the reason most people have a situation in their life where something is really compromised or neglected is they weren't looking at it every week. So all of a sudden, their relationship, they always say, I don't even know where our relationship went wrong. And I go, every week.
Yeah. But, dang, that's good.
You know, if on a Sunday yeah. you asked, you had the guts to ask, how is my relationship?
Yeah.
Am I pouring myself in? Am I fully committed? Am I being sweet? Am I being kind? And if every week you measure something, that thing gets better.
Yeah.
And so your whole life assessment is something to do every week beyond whatever your New Year's goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And that will make people, that's how you achieve happiness, is not by random goals,
yeah.
but by an aligned approach to life,
yeah.
like a holistic approach to life.
So this is an interesting question about the planner, because it's,
yeah.
super awesome, but sometimes it makes me feel harder on myself.
Yes.
Do you feel like that's a thing?
Yes.
For like, because I'm like, you're doing all these things, and I'm like, that practice is like, then I feel like I'm kind of beating myself up, like, oh, yeah, but
yeah,
what is the, or I'm like perceiving
this in the wrong
way.
No, I think a lot of people do that. They're like, this is hard.
Yeah.
And I go, I want it to be hard.
Yeah.
I want, because listen,
you guys have to look at Brittany's platter. It is like 79 steps long. It's like so detailed, and it makes you, you know, one of the things I struggle with, you know this about me, is moving too fast.
Yeah.
And so part of the hard thing for me about that planner is I'm like, okay, here we go. Here we go.
It's
we
10
gotta,
questions no, in the morning
no,
and 10 questions
a
at
while.
Night.
It
yes,
takes a
they're
while.
They're hard questions.
Because I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. Like, but this is probably part of the problem with me is that the Sunday thing is the worst for me, where I have to like judge the week.
Yes.
Because I'm like, oh, you did so good over here, but
yes.
this thing. And then I'm like, well.
Well, I think there's two ways to approach it. One, I want it to be hard, because there's plenty of other resources and materials that people can just write about how they feel great
yeah.
about themselves.
Yeah.
But then in 3 years, they're like, why am I still unhappy?
Why am I still
here? Because if you don't face
yeah.
the hard stuff, you never get to experience the good stuff.
Yeah, that's real.
And so that's it, you gotta face it. And so you have two ways to go about it. Either you avoid it, which is like, avoidance is a great short-term strategy to feel good,
mm-hmm.
but also a great strategy to ensure long-term suffering.
Yeah.
And so I think learning to face things that do make your brain kind of like, wow, this is hard, this
yeah.
is difficult, that will benefit you in the long term. I also think that you can learn to approach it with as much grace as you have, being, okay, I'm gonna measure myself in these areas. I'm gonna be honest about them, but I'm not gonna like beat on myself or hate myself because it's not perfect every week. Mm-hmm. My ambition, my intention in doing this is, okay, every week, I'm just gonna be aware.
Yeah.
Because awareness is the gate to change. So I'm just gonna be aware. And that way you don't end up 2 years from now with, oh my God, I neglected our finances. Oh my gosh, I neglected this kid.
Yeah.
Because that's what neglect, no one says I wanna neglect something.
Yeah.
They took their eye off it.
Yes.
It became neglected until the pipe burst.
Yes.
And the house burnt down.
Yeah.
And so, yes, sometimes you're like, oh, I'm not so great here, but at least you're aware of it. And you can say, okay, let me improve this area. That was very much for me. Like the one area that I have people measure themselves on a weekly basis is like adventure in your life.
Oh yeah.
Like, did you try something new this week?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, sometimes I'm like,
a new restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's true. That's what happens. People are like, and then they're like, I don't know, we have a boring relationship. It's because no one said, are you putting adventure into your relationships? And that's easy for me because I can be a homebody like nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I never want to leave my house.
Yeah, and you met my wife. I never want to leave my wife.
I didn't shower this weekend. I really didn't. I stayed in the same pajamas.
Yes.
I'm so gross on weekends.
And you're okay with that.
Yes.
Unless that goes on 50 weeks and no one ever told you about it.
Yes.
Right? And so
So
the High Performance Planner, what it does, it says, here's 10 prompts to ask yourself in the morning. Then what are your major goals and priorities for the day? That takes me about 10 minutes a day. Then at night, there's 6 prompts. Mm-hmm. And they ask questions like, what did you learn about somebody else today? Because what most people do is they're just focused on what are they grateful for, which is very important. But they should also say, what did I learn about me today? What did I learn about other people? Where did I not feel like I was my best? What could I have done there?
Mm-hmm.
If I was like coaching or caring for myself, what advice would I give myself? And then they score themselves in the 6 high performance habits. And these are the habits that highest correlate with long-term success across every field in the world. And so, in the world. So it's about 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night.
Yeah.
And I agree, some of those questions are hard. And then the weekly review.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I tell people. Don't even get the High Performance Planner if you don't need the prompts. What I love for everybody to do, just listening, if you're at home with a piece of paper, what's the 10 questions you should ask yourself every morning?
Ooh.
What's the 10 questions you should ask yourself every night? And now, I just want you to do it every day.
Yeah.
Then on the weekends, on your Sunday, when you go to review your life, what should you score? Like, what would your scorecard look like?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone listening can set that up for themselves.
Absolutely.
The planner, I think, takes it to more of a like a scientific level. Like, we know asking these ones get the biggest bang for the buck in your change or your productivity. It like, we know it helps more than just guessing. But I'm like, you know what? Everyone should forge that for themselves. I mean, the planner, I made it for myself in the first place. Because I said, what does the science say that makes people the most productive or the most focused or the most happy? And that's what went in it.
Yeah.
And so I've been using it for myself, and then I was like, wow, other people could like this, even if it's hard.
It is hard.
We definitely get that feedback. They're like, that took me 15 minutes this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you could go, you know, what else you can do in that 15 minutes?
Absolutely.
I mean, setting intention, whether you do it with my planner or your journal or anybody else's thing, I just think it's important. Like, one thing I admire about you, your success is real because you sat and you wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the manifestation piece that really does happen when you write. I really believe that.
Yes, I told Brendan when, probably the first time we hung out in real life, how many times I had written on a piece of paper for years, I speak on Brendan Burchard's stage.
Yeah.
I wrote it over and over and over and over. And then one day, out of the blue, you were like, what's your speaking rate? You were like, and you lied. You were like, I have a friend who wants to book you. Because you're a very good guy. And then I told him, and he was like, that's not your speaking rate. Your speaking rate is double that.
I made you double your price.
Yeah. Which is also why you're awesome.
Yeah.
And then I was speaking on your stage. Mm-hmm. But I wrote that down for years.
And I paid you.
Oh, you paid me.
Because I was like, okay, this was your dream.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey,
I
really respect speakers. This is a real career.
Yeah.
Everyone should get paid for their time, energy, effort, voice.
Yep.
And everyone listening, most of you should double your prices if you're charging something,
that's
especially if you're a
solopreneur.
Truth. Because we discount ourselves. We let our internal insecurities become perceived market realities.
Yeah, that's real.
So we go, oh, well, you know, I'm just starting, so I shouldn't charge. Or I'm really good, but, you know, most people don't have the money for it. And it's like, no, no. You honor your time, energy, and effort in this life. And your job is to position yourself and put yourself out there in a way that people understand that. Mm-hmm. And the ones who don't worry about them. The ones that do, will pay.
Yep.
And I think that's responsible for people's career and businesses. So I'm definitely hard on that, but I think that you're a great example.
I feel like you've done that for so many people.
I also wrote the same thing. I wrote down, I was like, you know, one day I'm going, I didn't write down one day I'm going to meet Oprah.
Yeah.
I wrote down one day I'm going to help Oprah.
Yeah.
One day I'm going to advise Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Like I was like, because, you know, most people were into celebrity stuff. And I was like, no, I want to be a person of service.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go off on this a lot. Yeah. It's like there's a selfie generation right now, which I really admire. But there also has to be a service component. Mm-hmm. And if you're just stuck in the selfie, me, and not asking, because it would be me, like, oh, I would love to meet a U.S. president. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my ego.
Yeah.
I would love to advise, coach, or, you know, give something to a president. That was my mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I met so many of them.
Yeah.
And that's how I got to advise or coach the people I wanted to, because I was like, I'm going to figure out a way to add value to this person.
Yeah.
And for me, that creates a little bit of a challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I add value
to this person? You know,
I'm texting even you. Yeah. Like, I desperately want to add value to
you.
So I'm like,
all the time.
I know, but I was texting like, I could.
Yes.
In the morning when you wake up, you'll have 3 full-time employees that I'll put in this, you know, I'm like, because I believe in your mission so much.
Yeah.
You know, there's so few people in this world who are doing it with the values that you have. And the depth of truth that comes from. That's not just like, hey, I want to, you know, be on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like you were doing this before Instagram.
Yeah.
You and I both were.
Yeah.
We were sharing our voice and trying to help people when there wasn't everything that's available today.
Yeah.
And I think we were lucky that we started when we did.
Yes.
Because
so
it was a different, it was, you know, Stephen Covey's character ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the character ethic. And so I'm always like, how can I support, be part of that, because I really
are. I mean, I think I reached out to you in January of 2017 on Instagram DM and said, I'm going to find it and post it on Instagram the day this podcast comes out. Like, would you ever do my podcast? And then didn't hear back. And then finally you were like, I will, but I'm something, this is what's happening right now. And then I was like, follow up in 6 weeks. And then 6 weeks, I would send another note. Hey, me again. Would you ever consider doing my podcast? And you're always so gracious. Like, oh, thank you so much. I'm on tour. And then follow up again. And then I would just set an alarm, like, follow up with Brendan, because he said, and here we are.
Yeah.
So you are doing it in real time.
But also, I want to give a shout out to you. You added value to my life, regardless of whether I said yes or no.
Yeah.
Because I also remember looking you up on Instagram one time because someone was saying, hey, there's this lady who's really enthusiastic about high performance habits.
I love that book.
She's telling everyone you have to read it. And I looked you up and then I looked through her DMs. I'm like, oh, her and I have been corresponding.
Yeah.
This is who this is. And you were, even though I had not yet been on your podcast or mm-hmm. hadn't been able to or said no or whatever, you still said, I love this book.
Yeah.
And I think that makes such a difference I know a lot of people reach out to you and me, mm-hmm. but they'll reach out and they've never even talked about our stuff.
Yeah, totally.
They're like, can you give me this leg up? And like, but you haven't said anything about it. It's not that it has to be like that tit for tat kind of thing, but it is a level of like, hey, if I want to work with a brand, I should at least have consumed or helped or promoted the brand.
Totally.
And a lot of people don't do that today.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like, hey, I deserve this. And I think
the flip, at least in the space that we're in, where we're trying to help people or give them the tools, or I am constantly on the hunt for what tools will be helpful, even if they aren't my own. Mm-hmm. Like, we can only write so many books at a time, or we can only. So I'm constantly like, man, you got to read this. You need to listen to this thing. You need to. So it wasn't me trying. I mean, I think that's the difference for people. Like, I wasn't trying to kiss up to you, and I really wasn't trying to get your attention. I said it a million times. It was 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had to be.
Was it, when did it come out?
Well, the book came out
16.
October 2017.
17. Okay, so then I'm confusing my dates. But it was my favorite book of 17, and it came out at the end of the year, which is crazy because I read a ton.
Yes.
I was obsessed with that book. I've reread it like 3 times.
Thank you.
And every time I go back, I'm like, oh, it's a new. thing I didn't catch. I really do. It's not because we're friends. It's because it's a really good book.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
I was worried because there was a lot of academic research that went into it. Mm-hmm. It took 3 years of my life, and I didn't think it'd be mainstream accepted as much as it was. Mm-hmm. And Amazon, that same thing. It came out in October.
Yeah.
And Amazon bestseller, Amazon's editors picks the best picks of the year each year. And they almost always pick stuff that came out,
because it's had time to build. Yeah.
And they chose it as the third best business and leadership book in 2017.
So good.
And I remember seeing that. And this was not like just based on sales. It was based on like, they're a hardcore editor group. And they said, you know, this was the best of that year. And I literally, like, I remember I broke into tears because I was like, That's three years on that book.
That's a big deal.
It was a big deal.
And you narrate it.
Oh, it's so bad.
No, what?
Okay.
I was going to say, for people who are listening who are not into reading physical books, you can listen to Brendan narrate the entire thing.
Yes. And it's an Easter egg on the Brendan Show podcast.
That's right.
Season four.
Yes.
So for those who are not, if you go subscribe to my podcast, Brendan Show, when you hit subscribe, download all the episodes. It's the only way actually to do this. You download all the episodes. Season four is the entire audiobook.
Yeah.
Of High Performance Habits.
Yeah.
And I did this right, so the book takes off, the bestseller charts, and the audiobook's taking off, and I tell my publisher, I said, I have this idea. I just want to give my podcast listeners the whole book for free.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Because every time someone downloads that, basically you lose money as the
audio.
And I said, but I think no one's done this before on a book that's on the charts. Let's just do that because I want to thank my podcast listeners because you know I started early podcast too, so I was like, let's see what they and it just took off. It ran the podcast to number one, and it was like a geek out moment, and I want to give a shout out to Paulo Coelho for that inspiration. Paulo wrote the book Alchemist, and he's a great friend and like a big mentor, and I've advised him a lot on his book launches here in the US, and so that's how we became friends. But I share that story because one time Paulo, this is before Alchemist really took off worldwide, and now it's the seventh most read book in the history of humanity.
Wow.
The Alchemist.
What's the other six?
You have like, you have like the vampire teenage thing.
Twilight?
Twilight is like number five.
No.
Harry Potter.
Okay, I believe that.
The Bible, of course.
Yes.
Oh, Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, yeah.
And then
classic.
The Alchemist. I believe it's in that. So anyway. So The Alchemist is in, you know, this is the seventh most read book in the history of the world. But but before it took off, something happened. Paulo Coelho's book was, the audiobook was read by Jeremy Irons, the actor with the cool voice. And somebody had stolen it, put it up on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
And the publisher wrote Paulo, and Paulo saw it. And now this time Paulo has millions of fans on Facebook. You know, one of the most read authors in the history of the world at that time already. But this book hadn't, The Alchemist hadn't really crushed through. And Paulo takes the YouTube link, puts it on all of his socials, and says, somebody posted up this audio, the full audio of my book. You should all go listen to it.
Mm.
And he gave it away free. Now that cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars, but he did it because he loved his readers.
Yeah.
And that inspired me. I was like, I want to be that generous one day.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm going to do it. And everyone freaked out, and I'm so happy I did. And we hear about it all the time now. So really long story, but I also share that story because if you're going into this next year, I hope that one of the goals that everyone has listening, set a goal for being overly generous.
Mm.
Like find ways to do that in your brand or your business. Not in ways that compromise you or your core, but like, and I know we got a lot of people who listen and like me, we're people pleasers, so we can like really drain ourselves out by being too generous to too many people, but find one or two things that you can really geek out this year on of being overly generous.
Yeah.
Because I think people don't think about that. They're trying to save or secure or protect, but I think like part of our life here is how can you be more generous? And in what ways can you do it? And since you're planning the whole year anyway, with your teams, if you have teams, or your spouse, if you guys work together, like say, okay, what's two things we can do this year that we can really rally around that is just to be generous to our audience, just to be generous to our customers, if it makes no sense at all. And because you'll get more excited and fired up about that than you will about your quarterly goals.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people need that. Aspirational goals around being generous.
Yeah. You are the most generous person I know. And I'm so grateful that the listeners get to meet you and get to talk to you the way I get to talk to you all the time. So thank you for finally doing the podcast.
I can't believe we did it. I'm so excited. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Hey, y'all. We should hang out on more than just this podcast, which means that the next time you're on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, be sure and type Rachel Hollis into the search bar and check out all the fun things we have going on your favorite platform.